talk to us again about the absolute power of Jesus. The absolute power of Jesus. Amidst all its failings, the unfailing perseverance of a person is most successfully evidenced in their inability to distrust themselves to the lack of their own better judgment. The world in which we live is shaped and therefore limited by our context, our opinions, our imaginations, and most dangerously, our world is shaped by our needs. The last Roman emperor of the Pax Romana and Stoic philosopher named Marcus Aurelius said, "Everything we hear is an opinion and not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective and not the truth." The main idea of the message today is true belief in God occurs when the things the person sought for themselves gets eclipsed by the God who alone can provide them. The appropriate response to Jesus is one that learns to find meaning and life not merely in what he gives, but in who he is. Michael Card, in his last volume of the Biblical Imagination series, Commentaries on All Four of the Gospels, Michael Card says, "The miracle in this text is that the nobleman took Jesus at his word without seeing any proof. He believed before he saw." The famous dictum of modernity is seeing is believing. But this gets overturned in this pericope this morning when we learn from this father in the text that believing is seeing. The world says seeing is believing. But when you trust Jesus' word, believing is seeing. Jesus was again in Cana of Galilee, where he had given the first sign in John's gospel that he is the Lord over nature. News of his presence reached Capernaum some 25 miles away, whereupon he will give the second sign of his ministry, that not only is he the Lord of nature, but he is Lord of life. Walk with me around the text. When we read John chapter 4, commencing at verse number 43 and starting particularly in verse number 46, we see this nobleman's plight. He is on the horns of a dilemma. Let's look a moment at his plight. From Capernaum, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, comes an unnamed official, an officer in the court of Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee, whose son was at the point of death, which caused him to hurry to Cana to secure help from Jesus. Although he is a royal official with servants at his command, the situation is so dire that he goes in person. He does not send a servant. He goes in person to ask Jesus for help. Brothers and sisters, God's providence often uses our need to drive us to find even more than we thought we needed in the first place. The fact that the Father comes himself with the plight shows the humility of his faith. Yet he thinks and clings to the thought that Jesus must come to his son's bedside to heal him, and that if Jesus does not hurry, death will win and may make any help from Jesus impossible. This reveals the imperfection and the limitation of the Father's faith. He heard about the first sign in Cana of Galilee, and he is now suspended between fear and hope. And he mixes what he heard with the shallowness of what he believed and made known his plight to Jesus. He said, "Sir, would you come to my house, that you would come down and heal my son, for he is at the point of death." Jesus said, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The reply of Jesus to the official's request appears at first reading to be rude and abrupt. "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The words of Jesus in verse 48, brothers and sisters, should serve to remind us that Jesus' greatest gifts to us today are not in the restoring of physical health, but in bestowing upon us a strong faith in the one who heals, even if he chooses not to. Let me run that by you one more time. Jesus' greatest gifts is not physical healing, but strong faith in the one who can heal, even if he chooses not to. I want you to hear me. When we require miracles before we believe, we are like swimmers who are brave as long as the water is 2 feet deep. Anybody can talk about it. I can swim in 2 feet of water. But out there in the ocean, it takes a whole lot of faith. When you need a miracle a day to keep the devil away, you are like a soldier who is brave at parade rest, but you're nervous in Afghanistan. You're not much of a soldier in a dress uniform standing at parade rest. Your sign of being a real soldier is on the battlefield. The point Jesus is making this morning, the point of Jesus' complaint is not the fact that he is asked to come to Capernaum and perform the miracle where the man can see it done, but the fact that the kind of faith represented can only be made alive by more miracles in the first place. Jesus' intention is not to reject completely the man and the people he represents in Galilee. Only the kind of belief that the man initially displays. If you got to have something fresh and new to happen for you every day, you don't have much faith. If the show got to get bigger every Sunday, you come into church with an entertainment philosophy and a nightclub mentality, you can go to Las Vegas to get that. You can go to a casino to get that. But people who have real faith don't need God to do anything else but wake you up in the morning. Because if God doesn't do anything else for us, he's already done more than we will ever deserve. And so our thankfulness ought to be tied into what God has already done. My boy is at the point of death, and my plight is, I need you to come to his bedside and lay your hands on him. That's the father's plight. That's the situation he's in. But I need you to look with me now, secondly, at the father's plea. Stay with me. The man speaks now, not as a royal official, but as a father. He does not call him in the next verse, my son. He says to Jesus, I need you to come see about my child. Not my son, but my child. That's a term of affection. We can almost see the tone of his voice shift even on the page, and with pleading reverence, the man lays his plea upon Jesus' heart. Not my son. I need you to come see about my baby. Not my son. I need you to come because my child is in trouble. Only a parent can help me shout right here. Because as long as they're making A's and B's, that's my son, that's my daughter. But when they get in trouble, Lord, I need you to help my baby. I need you to help my child. I'm praying, but look like they won't turn around. I'm begging, but look like they won't go to church. God, put your hand not on my child, not on my little son, but I need you to grab my baby by his mind. And any parent here who's ever had a child to go astray, any parent here who's ever had a child who has been sick, anybody here who's ever had a child that's been in trouble, you know how to get on your knees and say, Father, I'm giving back to you. You gave him to me, and just like you gave him to me, I'm giving him back to you. Put your hands on him. I can still hear my daddy right now on his knees at the True Light Baptist Church, calling every one of our names and telling God where we lived as if God didn't know our address. My daddy would call every one of our names and say, God, if you see my child walking in a way I didn't raise him, I wish I had somebody to help me. Catch him by the reins of his mind and turn him around before it's everlasting too late. I'm in church this morning. I'm a Christian today because somebody prayed for me. And my mother, when she got too old to get on her knees, would sit on the side of the bed and rub her knees and say, God, if I'm not around, let somebody's heart be tender towards my children. And every time somebody goes out of the way to be nice to me, I hear my mother say, if I'm not around, let somebody's heart be tender towards my children. You are in here not because you went to prayer review, not because you went to Grambling or Southern, not because you graduated from law school. You are blessed this morning because some mama, some grandmama, some uncle, some aunt, somebody prayed for you. Thank you for a praying mother. Thank you for a praying grandmother. Thank you that somebody said, Lord, come see about my child. This man's voice changes. His tone changes. Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. He's not talking primarily to the man. He's talking about everybody gathered around him. But the man is not rebuffed by Jesus' rebuke. He's not offended by Jesus' words. He does not turn away and walk away in sad disappointment. He did what that Canaanite woman did in Matthew at chapter number 15. I need a Bible reader to help me talk it. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus was in a certain place healing. And this Canaanite woman came and said, "My daughter is possessed with the devil." I wish I had one or two more Bible readers. Jesus said, "It's not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dogs." That woman said, "Yes, Lord, you're right. But even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table." I'm not asking you for the children's bread. I'm asking you to give me some crumbs, because crumbs from your hand. Anybody here ever needed the Lord to come to your rescue? You didn't need a whole lot. You didn't need God to do a whole lot for you. You just needed God to let you know that you were not in this thing by yourself. "Yes, Lord, I know it's not right to take the children's bread. Just give me some crumbs." Just let some drops. Fall on me. I learned how to drink coffee hanging around my grandmother. I would be with my grandmother so much, she said, "You're gonna start smelling like an old woman. You need to get out of here and go find some friends your own age." But I loved her so much. I love her in her grave. She's been dead now 50 years, and I still feel like she died yesterday. I learned how to drink coffee. I learned how to speak Creole hanging around my grandmother. I just know a few cuss words in Creole. I don't know no real Creole. I learned those words from my grandmother. And I would sit down with her and thread her needle. She was a seamstress. And I learned how to drink coffee hanging around with Mama, because she would fill her coffee cup and put a saucer under it. And she would fill it up to the brim, and the coffee would spill over in the saucer, and she would drink from the cup and give me the saucer. That's all I need the Lord to do. I don't need the cup. Just give me the saucer. Touch me, Lord Jesus. Let some drop. Just give me the cup. Even if I don't have the cup, I want the saucer. You don't have to do much to make me shout. I say, you don't have to do much to make me happy. I don't need no choir director talking about giving God a hand of praise. And I don't need no preacher talking about let's give God a hand clap. When I think about the sins I committed that God has forgiven. Have I got a witness here? When I think about the doors that were closed in my face, but God opened them for me. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I don't need the choir to get me all juiced up. I need somebody here who was just riding along in your car, and you start thinking about when you didn't have a car. You just start shouting right there on the steering wheel. Somebody, I need you here. Somebody who's been just washing dishes and thinking about how God put food on your table, and how God made your enemy your footstool, how God made a way out of no way. They tried to fire you, but God gave you a raise. You're here this morning testifying. Can't nobody. You said my child is at the point of death. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hours of grief and pain will lean upon its God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The steps of a good man, wish I had a Bible reader, are ordered by I've been young. I need somebody over 60 to help me shout here. But now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. We sing it all the time, but now it ought to have new meaning for you. Pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on other thou art calling. Do not pass me by. I don't mind you blessing them, just don't pass me by. Let me at your throne of mercy. I wish I had somebody to help me find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, Lord, I need you to help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. And if you've ever cried in your midnight hour and God came to your rescue, help me testify this morning. God is a keeper. I will keep him in perfect peace. If you keep your mind stayed on me. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Father, the creator of the ends of the earth, there's no searching of his understanding. I wish I had a Bible reader. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and grow weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, my child is at the point of death. Sir, would you come? But now here is what Jesus does. In verse number 50. Look at verse number 50. Verse number 50. Jesus said, go. your boy will live. The man believed what Jesus said. With this one pregnant word, Jesus changes death into life. One word. Go. In the Greek, which I don't understand. I had to call Dr. Ralph West because he has a master's degree in biblical languages. And so when I want to sound smart, I call Ralph and ask him what that meant in the Greek. And in the Greek, it's the mild present imperative, which literally means just be going. What you standing around here for? Just be going. You asked me. I heard you. I said, go. Just be going. It is followed, Ralph says, by the intensive present tense. Your son will go on living indefinitely. Not just the fever broke, but he gonna keep on not having a fever. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. The words Jesus spoke bore all the power of his will. They were a divine pledge, an unconditional assurance, and an absolute promise that struck at the heart of this father with the faith of kindling power. Now hear me, brothers and sisters. Jesus just simply said, keep going. And when you get where you're going, your boy gonna live indefinitely. There were no angels, no burning bush, no pillar of cloud by day, no pillar of fire by night, no star in the east. There was only a word from the Word. That was only a word from the Word. And with the word of Jesus as collateral, the man believed that Jesus need not be physically present to act on his behalf because distance does not matter to him. Can I make that make sense? If you need God in Pleasantville, he doesn't have to leave Sugar Land. If you need God in Missouri City, he don't have to stop seeing by somebody in Pearland. If you need God in Fifth Ward, he can come down here to South Union. Because when he was here physically, he was spatio-limited by time and space. But now that he's on the right hand of God with power, all we've got to do is call him, and he can be everywhere at the same time. I'm through. That's the path the man took. But now I want you to see the proof that the man had. And I'm through. Jesus said, just go on. Just keep on going where you were going. And when you get there, your boy will live. I want you to get this. Here is the shout in the text. The father ran 25 miles when his child was at the point of death. But when he got the word from the word, he walked home. Y'all ain't praying with me. When he was in trouble, he ran. But when he got his answer, he strolled. Because when you believe what Jesus said, you don't have to get in a hurry. You don't have to worry about what no neighbor says. You don't have to worry about what your friends are talking about. If God said it, I believe it. I wish I had somebody to help me close it. When the man got home, he was on his way. As a matter of fact, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Before he walked home, after getting the word from the word, he spent the night in Cana. He slept in Cana. Now his boy was at the point of death, and he had no notion if that boy would recover. But because Jesus said he would, he got a room at the Posto, ordered room service, got a massage, shopped in the Galleria, then he went home. Because when Jesus gives you the word, when you get a word from the word, you stop trying to figure it out. You stop worrying about who likes you and who does not like you. You stop being concerned about what's going on behind you and around. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. He got up, paid his bill at the Post Oak, and started towards home. And close to his house, the servants ran out and said to him, your boy is not only feeling better, the fever broke. And the father said, what time did he get to feeling better? And the servant said, I think it was about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And the father remembered that that was the exact time Jesus spoke the word. Because there's power in the word. There's healing in the word. There's deliverance in the word. And no matter where you get your word from, maybe you got your word on your phone, maybe you carry your word with you at church on Sunday morning, maybe the word is on the dashboard in your car, or it's on the dresser in your bedroom, but you ought to pick up that word, because although it's small in size, there's dynamite in the word. Although it's small in size, there's healing in the word. Although it's small in size, there's salvation in the word. If you're saved this morning, you're saved because you heard the word. If you've ever been in trouble and you opened the word of God, you got some consolation this morning. Because there is a salve, there is healing in the word. The word says there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. I need somebody whose back has been up against the wall and you open the Word of God, and even though things didn't happen for you right away, you just kept on trusting in the Word. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a word for somebody this morning. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, so that my cup is just running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You ever been despondent in the day and you just opened the Word of God and it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. You ever felt bad during the day and you open the Word of God and it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. A church word. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Is there anybody here know the Lord is good? Is there anybody here ever had God answer a prayer? Anybody here ever had God open a door? Had God pay a bill? Anybody here ever had God put down an enemy? Why don't you help me right now? Why don't you help me right here? Tell God, thank you. Thank you. You didn't have to do it, but I thank you. You didn't have to make a way, but I thank you. Is there anybody saved this morning? If you're saved, you know what happened, don't you? It was one Friday on a hill called Calvary. He died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Is there anybody here know God's been good to you? Why don't you grab somebody? wish I had somebody to help me. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus stayed right in Cana and healed in Galilee. He stayed right where he was and healed where he was called. Because he's Lord over nature. He's Lord over distance. When you come to Jesus, you're looking at what you're looking for. You're talking to what you're talking about. Go your way. Your son lives. And listen, he does not always change the situation. He just changes you so you can handle the situation. Lord, you don't have to move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb.